Why don't you turn right now and greet those that are around you this evening?
And welcome them in the name of the Lord. How are you? Good to see you. A
couple of announcements tonight. First of all, you guys doing okay? You guys are kind of quiet. You all right? Okay, listen, the 31 days of prayer, you guys know that we're praying and seeking the Lord regarding the 31 days of prayer leading up to resurrection morning. And in a moment, I'm just going to use this as a guideline for us even when we do pray. But we're counting down to Easter resurrection morning, and be praying that God would move in the community around us. And then Good Friday service. We're praying that everyone comes out on Good Friday night. We're going to be getting together Friday night, this coming Friday night, at 7 o'clock right here in the main sanctuary. And the Spanish ministry will have their service in Spanish in room 201 at the same time, 7 o'clock. But Friday night, Good Friday service. Please come. We will look very, very prayerfully and carefully at what Jesus Christ has done for us. And it's always a very wonderful evening together. We look forward to that. Then Resurrection Sunday morning. We're so, listen, Resurrection morning trumps all other Christian celebrations in the year, you name it. Without Resurrection morning, we ain't got a thing. Jesus could have died on the cross. He could have taught and preached what he did. But it would have mattered nothing without Sunday morning. Amen? And so it's great that we worship the risen Lord. What a message, having just come back from Israel and seeing two worlds in conflict, so to speak, Judaism and Islam. And I got to tell you, Judaism's trying to work their way to God, and Islam is just out there. But I got to tell you, you just want to grab everybody there and tell them about the Jesus that walked on that soil, that preached to those people. To the Jewish nation. And man, listen, Sunday morning's going to come, 9 a.m., resurrection morning, and I'm asking you, I've been pleading with you for this last month, get out of bed, be here, don't sit it out, even if it's raining, we'll have the service inside. It's still at 9 o'clock, but we're planning on, pray, that we have the service outside. But do come, make your show for Jesus publicly as a witness, and avail yourself of that opportunity. While you have chance, do that. And and then the church office, just so you'll know, the church has been working hard getting to the resurrection week and resurrection services. And so they're going to have their normal Monday off, but they're going to also get Tuesday and Wednesday off, so there'll be no church office open. And although we will have Wednesday night service together, but do keep that in mind. And then we'll be getting back into the book of Proverbs. Now, first of all, before we make this our prayer tonight regarding the 31 days of prayer, this evening's prayer, I bring you greetings from Amir and his family and Moshe and Avi and Yoni and Ronan, the colonel there at the air base. You guys, it was radical. We went to the air base. And for the second time the tour got to go on the air base, we got there. And Roy, how long were we there for? Maybe 15 minutes, you guys? Not even that. Maybe 5 minutes. We just get off. We get off the bus. We're into the area where the two wings of the building are at, and then there's a patio. We step out there, and they have soft drinks for us and stuff, and people are just saying hello, and all of a sudden, man, the lights go off, the alarm goes off, and it was an alert, and the pilots are running, grabbing their helmets, putting everything on, and so. The lieutenant colonel there at the base said, "Get over here, Calvary Chapel, go over here." And I thought they were going to put us in some sort of quarantine. I mean, these guys were scrambling to go make an attack or to intercept something that was going on. And this is the real deal. And we thought we were in Hollywood. We were waiting for somebody to say, "Okay, take two. This is real." And three times the colonel said, "This is not a joke, it's real." And they amazingly ran us out by foot out to where the runway, right very near the runway. And these two F-16s come rolling up out of the ground. There they're covered. And from the alarm going off, we timed our watches. From the alert going off, where these guys are just standing there greeting us, to sprinting with their gear on. They already had their gear on because they were ready. And 4 minutes, the planes were airborne. They're the fastest in the world. The United States is second to scrambling, and Russia's third. It was amazing, right in front of us. They went and intercepted whatever was going on. Somebody from Syria was coming. It was amazing. And then they came back, and I guess they scared off the whatever was going on. But the other colonel, Ronan, that we know, he had said that Syria will often just do that. It's just like a show of presence. But it was so cool. You guys, I wish you could have been there. But it was fun, though. At the end of the trip, I reminded the people. I told them, I said, I feel so sorry for you that you had to put up all this last 2 weeks with all the fear and all the terror. And, I mean, you feel so safe there, and you are safe there. It's wonderful. It was great. So, just a little hello from all those guys. Listen, let's pray tonight. Can we just agree together on this as we come to the 27th day, which is obviously tonight, Wednesday, April 12th. This is what we pray that you are praying as this day has unfolded before us. And let's pray together. Father, we ask you, Lord, that you would cause the true message of Easter to change our hearts and our lives. And Lord, to draw our loved ones and our friends and our neighbors and the lost, Lord, to you. Father, as we set our heart toward this week and toward this weekend, we pray, Lord God Almighty, that we would wake up to the reality that we worship the risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we do not go visit a set of bones decaying somewhere in a box. We do not go to some place and bow down to some remnant of a life once lived. We thank you, Lord God Almighty, that it's Jesus. Who's risen from the dead. It is Jesus who this week in history paid the price for all of our sins. And God, that we would never be the same people by allowing your Spirit to move in our lives. And so, Lord, I pray that you would shake this community up to reality. That there's nothing in this world more valuable than Jesus for us. That there's nothing more greater than to proclaim that he's risen. And Lord God, that in these last days, we would not be a people whose faith grows cold. That we would not take this gospel in a half-hearted way. That Lord, we invite you tonight to engulf us, Lord, in the awesomeness of your Spirit. Consume us, Lord, in your righteous holiness. And God, may we go from this place tonight one step closer. For we are truly one step closer. To eternity, to being with you, to seeing you face to face. And Lord, tonight, as we as Christians rejoice in what we have, may there be somebody here tonight that is provoked to making Jesus the Lord of their lives. For we ask these things in your holy, wonderful name. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Tonight, as we take a break in our worship, and we'll pick up in worship in just a bit, I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles, first of all, to John's Gospel, chapter 12. John chapter 12, and if you're sitting in the dark, there's a reason why it's dark out back that way on both sides. That is to kind of coerce you to get into the light where you can see your Bible more fully. But if I had it my way, we'd all be crunched together and we could be together right here on the floor together. But if you can see your Bible back there, turn to John's Gospel, chapter 12, and look at beginning at verse 20. And we'll look at this portion of Scripture, and then we'll look at the book of Romans for a moment. John chapter 12, beginning at verse 20. And this is what the Bible says. Now there were certain Greeks among those who came up to worship at the feast. And then they came to Philip, who was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, saying, Sir, we wish to see Jesus. And Philip came and told Andrew, and then in turn Andrew told Philip to
and who told Jesus. And Jesus answered and said to them, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for or unto eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose came I into the world. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." Therefore the people who stood by heard it and said that it had thundered. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered and said, "This voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world, and now the ruler of this world is cast out. And if I am lifted from the earth, I will draw all people to myself." This he said, signifying by what manner of death he should die. The people answered him, "We have heard from the law that Christ remains forever. And how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Then Jesus said to them, "A little while longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. And he who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of the light." These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. Now turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. A little bit to the right. Romans 6. There Jesus says, Romans 6, beginning at verse 1. Or should you say, Paul says here, Paul the Apostle, "What shall we say then?" Paul responds to the question that he's laid out in chapter 5 here. "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died, listen, to sin once for all." Oh boy, that's wonderful. "But the life that he lives to God." Verse 11, "Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God," or "alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord." What a great week we celebrate in Passion Week. When we come to Wednesday of this week, as we celebrate now in history, there's a series of tremendous, powerful events that have taken place. Jesus has been visiting Jerusalem. He's been making very, very pronounced and profound statements about his very mission, about the nation of Israel, about salvation, and about all those who'll come to trust in him. He has been, since Palm Sunday, last Sunday, he's been announcing the aspect of his messiahship. He's been begging, as it were, Israel to come and believe and to recognize. But as you remember from Sunday, the people announced and shouted, "Hosanna," but now the tide is starting to turn. Their fair weather faith that was so bold on Sunday is now this week, now to this Wednesday, is beginning to wane. They're not seeing him be assertive as they had wanted a political deliverer to be. Jesus is speaking about sin. Jesus is speaking about death and resurrection.
The disciples are confused. People don't know what's going on. They're wondering, what's up? They not only had missed his message, but they had missed what the Bible had said about his coming. And now, as it were, in a sense, the whole atmosphere of Jerusalem is turning. And Jesus is on a path, listen, that will lead him to being alone. This week in history, all will forsake him. He'll be left alone. Those who said, I'll never leave you, will wind up leaving him. But on this Wednesday in history, Jesus is teaching and preaching and announcing. And what I want to announce to you tonight, I want you to get excited about this week. And I don't mean jump up and down and go, ooh, you know, and oh, hallelujah. And I want you to take it in firmly. Church, we are living in very, very dangerous times. And the gospel in many places is scarcely recognized. And I want you to realize that this week in history, God was on a course, Jesus was on a course to set you free from things that you and I rarely ever consider, we rarely ever meditate on and appreciate. That if tonight you're trusting Christ as your Lord and Savior, that death, true power of death, will never be upon you. It will never affect you. You say, Jack, wait a minute, are you nuts? I could get hit by a truck today, tonight. You could. I could be given a death sentence of this disease or that. Yes, you could. But my friend, as a Christian, do you understand that tonight, because of what Jesus announced and because of what Paul the Apostle was teaching, that death has no power over you and I because of what Christ did this week in history? You say, oh, yeah, okay. No, no. Listen, are you there? Are you on that path? Now, many of us, we don't want to think this way, but the truth is, every day that we wake up, we're closer to eternity. Every day. But we're busy. We're too busy to think about that. I understand we are too busy to think about that. We got things to do. We can't sit around and think about, oh, I've got only, you know, 1,000 more days left. We don't know. But we know this. Rather than thinking about the days we have left, how about thinking about that one day? Someday there will come a day when either Christ returns or we go to see him by death or by, you know, sickness of some sort that delivers to us this scary word that ought not to scare the Christian anymore. The grave will have no power over you and I. Do you understand that you will not lay in some casket, you know, looking through your eyelids, wondering what's going on? It ain't going to happen. Because though this body dies, the Bible says to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Why is that true, and why can we say amen to that? Because what Jesus did for us this week in history. He's on his way to the cross. He is going to embrace the cross. He is going to go to the cross. The Bible says for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Why? That we might be free. And I wonder if this week could pass in our life and we not take it fully in, that my friend, when you and I, as Christians, realize that Jesus has so broken the chains of the grave and of death, that for us it's an absolute victory. It's hard for us to even fathom that. It's hard for us to even entertain that. That for the believer, we're going to go home. But how do we get home? What is it that generates the possibility and the freedom for us to go home? When Paul said here in the book of Romans, he tells us that in a theological sense, when Jesus died, we died. When Jesus rose from the dead, we rose from the dead. That the things of our flesh that pull at us and hunger through us of this world, yes, this flesh goes after the things of the world. And the Bible says, Paul said again in another place in the book of Romans, that we need to keep this flesh under subjection. Why? Because it'll get out of control. This flesh will run to places. But listen, it's prone to do that, but now that we're born again by the power of God, now that we've got the Holy Spirit in us, the truth of the matter is you and I are walking around redeemed on our way to heaven, but this body is the very thing that houses us. But Paul says here, did you see that word, or did you hear it? The word reckon? Sounds like he's from like Texas. Well, I reckon. It's a mathematical term, by the way, that Paul uses in the Greek. It's fantastic. It means to do the math, to draw the line, to get the answer. It's a math term. It's an accounting term. Paul is saying to us, you know what? We've looked at the Bible. We've seen Christ. You know, Paul did. Paul saw him on that Damascus road. We saw Christ. We know Christ. The truth of the matter is that because Jesus is risen from the dead, I now get to say, because he's my Lord and Savior, when sin arises in my thoughts, in my life, I can now say, wait a minute, wait. I'm going to stand on the Bible. Church, are you listening right now? Can you watch? Are you guys awake?
Yes.
Okay, watch this. Bible. Paul is saying, if I'm out here somewhere, I'm on my own. Okay? But if I stand on the Word of God, and this is my foundation, that this is the pillar of my life, what God says, as a believer, I must embrace what He has said because it is truth. Listen, it's not truth because I believe it. It's true from God's own mouth. That's why I believe it. See, I can say, I believe that the sky is orange. I can sit there, I believe the sky is orange. I believe the sky is orange. Is the sky orange? No. But I believe it. Your belief is nuts. It's insane. But the Word of God says what it says. And because it says what it says, I am challenged now that I am to embrace and believe. What does it say? That you and I are to reckon the old man dead to sin. Well, how do I do that? Here's how you do it. Hypothetical. Let's say hypothetical. You don't sin from now till tomorrow morning. Now, I'm not encouraging sin, but you could leave her today, tonight, and have a short temper. You could have a selfish thought. That's sin. And that's not little white sins. That's sin. It's just a little sin. With God, there's no little sin, and there's no big sin. It is fatal, fatality sin. It put Christ on the cross. Put him on the cross. Sin is sin to God. Now watch this. Because Christ died and rose from the dead, what he accomplished this week for us, if we truly believe the Bible, and I reckon my old man dead, I reckon the old Jack to be dead. What's the old Jack like? The old Jack is a certain way. To reckon the old Jack dead, that when the old Jack pops up, you've ever seen those ridiculous, they kind of scare me, is those clowns that keep popping up. There's something about that face. Somebody must have beat me with one as a little kid. Because they're kind of freaky looking. They got this dumb look on their face. Keeps bobbing up, and you punch it, and it keeps back. The old Jack is that way. And your old Jack is that way. Or the old whatever you are, your name. That's why there's a struggle in our lives. The spirit wars against the flesh against the spirit. Now that you're born again, you fight those things. And you won't have victory without the Spirit of God using the Word of God. You know that. But the flesh pops up. What do? You knock them back down. How do you do that? Like this. Hey, Jack, take that parking spot. It's closer. And that old lady, she doesn't need it. She probably needs the exercise. So you take that parking spot and let her walk further out. That's wrong. God will convict me. When that happens in my head, I'm supposed to go like, you know, sin starts. James says sin starts in here. It comes into the porch, so to speak, of the temple before it enters into the true place where sin is then lived out. The thought will come. That's why the Bible says in 1 Corinthians to bring every thought under the captivity of Christ. Every thought. Why? Because what happens is the sin begins in my head. It's a thought. Hey, I ought to take that spot. Right then and there, this is how it's lived out. Now, I'm going to look like a fool, but I've done that in front of you guys before. It goes like this. In my head, hey, wait, I'm going to take that spot. I'm going to do that thing. The Holy Spirit will say, Jack, you know, like he said, Mary or Martha. When he says my name, is it true when he says your name? There's just a ring to it. You know it's him. Jack, I have a choice right then and there to let my flesh keep going or to stop and bring that flesh under the control of the Spirit or to reckon the old man dead. And this is what goes on in our heads. I think the thought, God says, Jack, I say in my head, Lord, thank you. You're right. I confess that to you, Lord, that is wrong for me. In fact, not only is that wrong, Lord, I reckon the old Jack dead. I declare now, based upon your word, Lord, you said that I need to reckon Jack dead. So, Lord, I am now declaring, I am now issuing a death certificate again. It's about the 10th time this day, you see. I declare, I pronounce Jack, the old man, Jack, dead to sin. It's a life of discipleship living. No way. And therein the battle begins. Because the flesh, like that crazy clown, bounces back up. And I might have to say 10 times, no. No, Jesus died on the cross and I'm free from this. Hey, what is it for you? Is it drinking? Is it temper? Is it smoking? Is it lust? What is it for you? You know, it's been about a month ago. We were here on a Sunday morning, and after the service, I walked out there and I was greeting people, and one guy came to me and he said, I want you to know that you said that the Bible says, and you quoted the verse, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He said, I do not sin. I do not, and it's amazing. I got news for you. I know that I love God, and I know that He loves me, and I dive into His Word daily, and I pray to Him very often, if not by the hour. But you know what? I can be hearing a message and sense the power of God and walk 3 feet back there and trip over a chair and think, what kind of a dope put the chair here? Did you put that chair? Did you put that chair here? And I can get into what we call the flesh. What do you do with that? You write it off? Well, it's because I'm, what do you say, Irish? Why do the Irish think they got it special? It's just because I'm Irish. Hey, if you're Irish or Portuguese or Canadian or from Houston, like Matt's from, we're sinners. Yeah, but I'm a Irishman. That doesn't matter. Or how about this? I'm only human. That doesn't work. No, you want true victory. We need to say, Lord, I am now taking your word and what you finished this week in history, what you did for me, your obedience to the word of God, Jesus. You lived it out. You obeyed the Father in all things. And if that wasn't enough, you took upon my sin this week in history. If that wasn't enough, you died for me. And your Bible now tells me that I'm to reckon the old man dead, then I'm going to do it. Christian, do it. With me, do it. Whatever is plaguing you and I, we need to now, I don't mean do it now, but you need to go get alone tonight. If you got to hide in the bathroom at your house, lock the door and look in the mirror and say it to yourself. The Bible says I am going to reckon the old man dead. And right here and now, I am leaving this thing at the foot of the cross. Whatever it might be. But you know it's displeasing to God. You say, Jack, isn't that denial? Oh no, you're inviting the power of God to live in your life that way. Yeah, but what happens if I mess up in that same thing 10 times this week? Guess what? A month from now, it'll only be 8 times. And a month from now, it'll be 3 times. And a month from that, it'll be, God begins to work in your life. It's awesome. But will we become sinless? No way. By the way, have you walked with Jesus for a while? Have you noticed that when we got saved, all the big stuff went out the window? He got rid of the big stuff now. And then as you walk with Jesus, it's kind of like he just starts digging up the real deep-rooted junk down in the soil. The stuff that we used to just glaze over or we didn't even recognize. The stuff that we used to say was Irish about us. And now he brings it to the surface. And he begins to clean house. So that it's almost as though you get closer to the light and the more clear things become, you know? But the truth of the matter regarding this is that the Lord, this week in history, my friend, rejoice in this, that what he has done for you and I don't think you and I are taking advantage. That may be the wrong word. I don't think you and I are entering into what he's done for us. We need to really enjoy the presence of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the power of the Lord, and the fact that, you know what? When I have this rise up in my life, I need to just now wrestle that in my heart, in my mind, and say, Lord, you said for me to reckon this debt. I'm going to leave you with this picture in your mind. And I've used it many, many times throughout the years because it's what the Lord had shared on my heart so long ago, that when Paul says this, it would be just like this. And you and I have a hard time with it. We don't think this can be true. It's as though the worship band's playing, the choir is singing, everything. There's angels alight in the sanctuary. It's perfect. Temperature's perfect. Lighting's perfect. Everything's perfect. Paul's backstage. Paul's going to deliver a message to the Corinthians. And they go, okay, Paul, this is the last song. Get ready. Come on out. You're going to preach to the Corinthians. And Paul's walking from the room in the back, and there's Peter. He's got a fish taco in his hand and reading, fishing magazine. And he's walking by, and Peter runs right into Paul. Knocks Paul's notes everywhere. He's fumbling around trying to find his notes, and everything's his Bible's all over the place. Peter's got tartar sauce on his face, and Paul looks at him and says, "You big dope! Why don't you watch where you're going, you crazy fisherman? You're going to hurt somebody walking around like that." Peter stands there. Lip starts to stick out. Paul's picking up his notes. Immediately, this is the scenario. "Paul, you just offended Peter. It was wrong for you to do that. You know that. Paul, what did I teach you about this in Romans chapter 6? Paul gets his notes together and stands up. "Are you ready for this? Peter, I want you to forgive me for my outburst of wrath right now and my impatience. You know what, Peter? I ask you to forgive me. I got to tell you, that's exactly how I used to be all the time. In fact, Lord, I right now reckon the old man to be dead. That was not me, the new me. That was the old Paul. And that guy died with Jesus at the cross. And the new Paul is alive to Christ. And so I reckon that dead. In Jesus' name," Paul would say. And then he would turn to Peter and say, "Peter, please forgive me." And then Paul would come out and preach his heart out. And when he was done, they would both walk away and have a great time at wherever, you know. You say, "Jack, really?" Yeah, you know what, Christian? That's the way it's supposed to be. But because we don't have to walk in the Spirit, we do things, we say things that we ought not, and then we wind up hurting people. And then we wind up callousing our own hearts. And then we got a trail of debris left behind. And then this guy's upset, and this girl's hurt, and she's this and that. And then things come up because we fail to walk in the Spirit with the moment-by-moment presence of Christ in our lives. And if I were to fall off this stage tonight and you know, land on Todd's lap and you know, spring his ankle or something, Todd, I'm sorry, I tripped. It's okay. The slate's clear. Do you understand that? Don't you know that's how God works with you? Do you know that when you and I blow it, He gets us right now on it? Do you understand He doesn't want anything between you and Him, ever? He's so close to you. He doesn't want any division. And when we allow things in, if Paul would have said, you know what? Yeah, that's right, Peter, and that's the way it is. Deal with it. And walked away. You know how ungodly that is? It's so sad. The truth is, Lord, I now determine, I decree, I've done the math being this. I've gone through your word. I know what it says. That thought in my mind, that's not what I want. I don't want to get anything near that. Lord, I confess that to you. I reckon that paid by Christ, and I reckon it dead. Lord, I ask you to forgive me, and I'm going to walk down that newness of life you've given me. It's called Christianity. And the more you exercise that wonderful power that God has given us over the power of sin and death and the grave, Sunday looks a lot sweeter. Sunday is coming, and we will gather publicly and worship Jesus Christ. I just wonder, you know, Jesus said it, that when I come back, will I find faith on the earth? Are you passionately hot in your heart for what this week means? Are you excited that you, in this life, it's hard to tell what's true and false in this world, but you know this is true, is that God loves you and that He died on the cross for you? Have you surrendered that life of yours to Him? I pray that you have. Tonight, Christian, when Matt comes out in a moment to lead us in worship, normally you would sit here, what is it? It's 10 to 8. You would sit here till 8:30. I want to say this. If you're in here tonight and we're going to go into worship in this brief, pathetic attempt for me to try to get us all to see more value of what He's done for us, if that doesn't cause you to worship, then something's seriously wrong. There may be, if you're a believer, serious apathy. If you're a non-believer, I hold you to nothing except choose Christ tonight. But my friend, listen to me. Christian, He has freed you. If you died now as a believer, the forces of hell and of darkness and the grave cannot keep you. You may wither like a flower here in the flesh as you roll or curl up to die. That's it. But that's it. You awake in His likeness. If you believe that, you can't do anything but worship. So, Christian, worship. I'm going to ask you tonight, you know how a sprinter kind of goes through all that? You know, he's wiggling around and gets in the blocks, get ready to take off. You need to do that as a Christian tonight. Just, man, okay, I'm just going to get all this. You know, maybe you brought your light bill and your mortgage bill with you. Get it away from you. Give it to your neighbor. No, don't. No, but get it away from you. And I want you to just loosen up and breathe deep and thank God for what He's done for you. ask the Lord, Lord, tonight, open my eyes of realization. Open my eyes and my mind of meditation upon what you've done for me. Father, I pray that you'd move in our lives, in my life. Lord, that we would set our heart and mind now to worship. Let us not be robbers and thieves, as the book of Malachi speaks about, that because we didn't worship you with all that we have, we robbed you. Lord, tonight, this Wednesday evening, with the little time remaining, from now to 8:30, may we worship you in spirit and in truth. And Father, may you be blessed by us. Christian, while your eyes are closed, please, while your hearts are being calmed, whatever's on your mind, whatever concerns you, whatever you think you've got to do, what you've got to hear or say or whatever, just stop now. Just stop. Unplug. Slow down. Stop. And focus on what Jesus has done for you. Ask Him to open your eyes. If He can take away the power of the grave and cancel sin in our lives, don't you think He can take care of what's plaguing your heart right now? My goodness, if you can't trust Him for what's in front of you, how will you ever trust Him with your eternal life? I want you to worship Him now. And if you're not a Christian tonight, will you hear this, please? As Matt sings, as the band leads us this evening, you're going to have words to the songs. You're going to hear about, and you've already heard about Jesus dying in your place upon the cross. If you're not a Christian tonight, know this, you're not joining a club this evening. But you want your sins forgiven. You want Jesus Christ as your Savior. You want to know that if you died tonight, you'd go to heaven. And listen, you're inviting Him to live His life through you. You are inviting Him to live His life through you. If that's your desire tonight, will you just let Him know that? Will you say that? And tonight, when Matt's done this evening and leading us, you can come forward before these steps here, and there'll be prayer elders to gather with you and to pray with you. And if you have any physical needs, church, emotional, spiritual needs, you come at the end of this service tonight, at the end of worship, and you receive prayer. Church, let's stand together now. And nobody leave, please, unless you don't care about how important this is. But with what's been said, let's worship Him now in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, let's worship Him now.